This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to Much Spoken Keeping Below, the podcast that follows the only team to win away at Barcelona in the past 5 years. Now, after disappointing in both domestic cups, attention turned to Europe and a repeat of last season's semi-final. But with Chelsea this time travelling away in the first leg, Chelsea knew they would be in for a tough game, especially in the grueling Catalonian heat. Each and every Chelsea player stood up and was counted. From Jess Carter at the back, Nuskin in the middle and Ramirez leading the line, it was a perfect Chelsea performance. Aaron Cuthbert's stunning first-half strike was enough to secure Chelsea's historic 1-0 away win, the first team to beat Barcelona at home in 5 years, and the first team to keep a clean sheet, or keep them from having a shot on target. I'm not sure which one this is, in 8 years. The win also means Emma Hayes has beaten every European team she's faced as Chelsea manager, and also ensures the dream of a perfect farewell remains on the cards. It might be half-time in the tie, but we're going to enjoy this victory for a little while longer. And the title of tonight's show is Went to Mo King's Meadow, episode number 133 is No Pain in Spain, just because it rhymes. And I liked it, and there's no one here to tell me otherwise, because, you know, I'm your host, Dean, as always, with no Dane or Jane this evening. Dane choosing to watch the men lose to Arsenal, don't know why. And Jane, I think, is still coming back from Spain. They stayed for a little while longer after the game. But I am joined by two people that were in Spain, in Barcelona, watching the team, and more importantly, in the away end, and that is Mr. Rich Bates. Rich, good to see you, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, good to be on the show, Dane, especially after one of the great Chelsea performances I've been able to watch live. I hope it was good for everyone who watched on TV as it was for me in the ground, because in the end, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was. One of the great Chelsea performances, and even looked good on YouTube. Although I would have preferred, although I don't know how much I would have seen from where you lot were sat. Looked quite a distance to the pitch, and distance isn't great for me. We're also joined, of course, by Sophie Spittle. Sophie, good to see you as well.
Good to see you, Dean. Thanks for having me on for today. And yeah, like Rich, looking forward to talking about a fantastic day in the Barcelona sun.
Yeah, the first team, the Chelsea team, to win in Barcelona ever. I've been there twice, lost one, drew one. So obviously I'm bad luck for Chelsea in Spain. Obviously that's the men's team, of course. Now, remember, we are live every Tuesday and the occasional Friday on Mixlr. That's mixlr.com. You can listen to the show live along and join in the show by posting in the live chat page, as we've already got good friend Johnny in there. Johnny, good to see you. He likes the title, so Johnny can stay. I'm not going to ban Johnny. Anyone that likes my titles gets my seal of approval. And then if you are listening, of course, on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever, please do leave a nice 5-star review to make us feel all good about ourselves. Now, on the show tonight, in part one, we're going to discuss The victory and Emma Hayes' tactical masterclass, and in part two, we're going to discuss the second leg this coming Saturday. We're going to do all that after this. Now, before we get into the lineup, seeing as you were both in Spain in Barcelona, I thought it'd be good to hear about your trips. Any little nuggets of gold from your trip out there? Anything that stands out apart from the game, of course. Rich, I know yours mainly involves pubs and bars, but I'm a fan of that. So, how was Barcelona following Chelsea women out there?
Yeah, it was very enjoyable. I mean, there's a group of people that I sort of go out to games with, or like travel or be in the away end with most of people anyway, that I've kind of made friends with over sort of the last year or so. So it's good. Obviously, that helps out as well. And yeah, so I got in about 8 p.m. Local time. I met up with my friends about around 10. To go to the shared apartment I was in, and then by 11 I was out. Had like a couple of beers, but didn't want to go too mad because I booked myself up a visit of the Sagrada Familia. This time I went last year, not knowing that you had to book the thing way in advance. This time I did do it. That was very enjoyable. It's a beautiful on the outside, and it's beautiful on the inside as well. It'll be good for them to actually get that place finished one day. But it's a beautiful, beautiful building. And then on to the pub before the game. Well, it's not, it was like a sort of an outdoor bar bit. During that, I had ordered some food that didn't arrive for about 40 to 45 minutes. And the person who was running the bar decided to give me a free beer. So I was already on to a good day before the game even started. Thanks to that, the guy that was running that sort of bar, eatery place, lovely little spot outside on the, I can't remember, it's like the mountain, that, or the sort of the mountain where the ground is on, or like the sort of the hilly area. I can't remember what exactly what it's called. Maybe Sophie can pronounce it. I think it's in the name, but yeah, it was a lovely little sort of place. And then we went to the, yeah, that's it, yeah. Then we went into the ground afterwards, and then obviously watched the game, and then when we came out after, went back to that same place because it was a really nice spot. It was a nice warm day, plenty of sun cream was applied during it, because it was warm. Although luckily in the ground, the away end was blocked, or the sunshine was blocked by the scoreboard, so we couldn't see the scoreboard the entire game, but the sun was being blocked by it. So that was a sort of a nice advantage of that. We didn't have to sort of sit there and apply sun cream during the game. But yeah, and then once we sort of left there, went down, found an Irish bar to watch the men's semi-final. That didn't go so well. But then I was eventually out until about 3 in the morning, I think I got to. And then I had to get up at about 6:45 for my flight home. So I didn't have a lot of sleep on Sunday. I slept the entire trip on the plane. And once I eventually got home about 3:30, I monged out on the sofa watching that Coventry Man United FA Cup game, barely keeping my eyes open, even though Coventry really gave that a good go. Anyway, there's my travel guide to Barcelona 2024.
Yeah, always when you get a free beer, the omens are good, and as it proved for you. I mean, Sophie, you've been going away for a while now, and it's been, not so long ago, Chelsea women's supporters were getting a bit of stick online for a small gathering. I think it was in Paris, if I remember rightly, for not having many fans there. But to see that away end last Saturday and the pictures of it, I don't know why they wouldn't want to be in there. It seemed a fantastic experience.
It was great. Excuse me. It was great. As Rich said, There's a sort of a group, well, quite a big group of us now, seems to expand every away game and every European away game that's sort of been to a few of them. We all know each other, we all recognize each other, have conversations and stuff, which is, just makes the experience even better because you get to know these people. And a lot of these friendships, relationships were sort of built up at the Barcelona away game last season, where we all sort of sat outside the pub before the game, getting to know each other there. And that sort of carries on because, as Rich said, we're all going to the games and we see each other games, meet up before the games, both in Europe and in the UK. Great bunch of people. My trip wasn't quite as alcohol ridden as Rich's, but I have cause to be very grateful to Rich and his friends because they retrieved my lost passport for me. So yes, I'm incredibly grateful to them to going back to the bar and finding that for me. So yeah, it was a little bit of drama, and unfortunately another member of our group got pickpocketed and her phone stolen. So it wasn't the best day for us, but the match was just phenomenal. Another fantastic day in Barcelona watching Chelsea play. So yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, thanks to Rich. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here. You'd still be in Barcelona, searching for it high and low. One of my group got a phone stolen in Barcelona, actually. Must be a common thing. Although that was, what, 14 years ago? 13 years ago? Something like that. They put a leaflet on the table over his phone and then picked the leaflet and the phone up, and he didn't realise. And they were long gone. Although we did find a good chicken shop down the back alley of La Ramblas, while trying to find them. So it wasn't all lost, especially for me anyway. Let's get on to the game then. Chelsea lining up in what I'm going to call 3-5-2. Hannah Hampton in goal, a back three of Jess Carter, Khadija Buchanan and Neve Charles. A midfielder of Johanna Rhys-Ad-Kamrid, Erin Cuthbert, Melly Leupolz, Sjerka Muscan and Ashley Lawrence. And then Lauren James and Mayra Ramirez up front. Emma Hayes making two substitutions, bringing on Kat Macario for Lauren James in the 73rd minute, and Guru Wrighton for Mayra Ramirez in injury time. That left Tahira Musovic, Millie Bright, Sophie Ingle, Fran Kirby, Eve Perisay, Aggie Beamer-Jones, and Katie Cox as the unused substitutes. Through the stats, Chelsea with 34% possession to Barca's 66. Seven shots, two on target to Barca's 11. BBC gave them one on target. I'm not sure if that's right, but that's what the BBC said. Chelsea with two corners to Barcelona's five and 11 fouls to Barca's nine. And Sophie, starting with that lineup, on the preview of this, we got 10 players right. The one we got wrong was Perisay instead of Lawrence, we predicted. But I suppose it was also the setup that we didn't expect. You know, we expected the 4-4-2 we've seen, and this was something slightly different that we haven't seen from Erin in a little while.
Yeah, it was sort of a 3/5 at the back, and I don't think if we had, or if people had sort of thought we should go three at the back, I don't think you would have put Neve Charles as the left-sided centre back either. Player we signed as a right winger is now playing left-sided centre back for us. I mean, that's versatility in coaching, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, it worked. I wasn't surprised to see Ashley Lawrence over Perisay because Lawrence has got the pace. And the energy, and I suppose that level experience. So that wasn't a surprise. I think my surprise, but I'm glad she did it, was Nusken in midfield, going for like a three central midfielders rather than three and a 10, or sorry, two and a 10, which she has done for most of the season. I mean, Nusken can play in that position, but she wasn't playing in that position on Saturday. She was more of a shuttling number eight, I suppose you'd say. So yeah, it obviously, with hindsight, it was the best lineup we could put out.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, we spoke about, you know, myself and Matt in the preview to this. You know, last season they had Jess Carter at left back and Neve ahead of her to try and deal with Graham Hansen. Obviously, didn't work. She scored very early on, but apart from that, they did a good job. And it was almost a replica of that. You know, but I suppose with Lawrence's pace, you know, and Neve's 1v1 defending that helped deal with her. And Graham Hansen, I think, was actually quite quiet for the game and ended up moving inside a fault to try and get on the ball and try and make something happen for Barcelona, which proves, as we say with hindsight, that, you know, Emma was right with what she selected.
Yeah, it was the way we defended the wider areas against them was sort of very interesting. Like when I looked at the lineup before the game, I was thinking, right, okay, it looks like a back four given the personnel, and then it just turned out to be completely not that at all. I guess I'll sort of work on the other side first because it was a train of thought I had in my mind about a minute ago. Was that JLK playing on the right side made sense because she knows Frölunda Rolfö from their time when they play against each other or play with each other for Sweden. And obviously, Rolfö's usually plays as a left back or very sort of pushed up left back on that side. And JLK's got the pace to kind of deal with her there. And then that allows her to also, JLK also has the speed to also help double up on Salma, who's usually on the left side for Barca's attack. And yeah, Charles and Lawrence did a really sort of good job on Caroline Graham Hansen. Like, I mean, last season Charles did much better, and I kind of said this, I think, at the end of season review, that she'd done better against CGH, whilst the fact that Graham Hansen had scored in both legs of the tie, but she had definitely done better than what she did in the final in 2021. She'd learned a lot from then, and you know, pushing her inside also means. You know, Charles Neve is she's a taller defender. She's one of the taller, I'd say probably one of the taller fullbacks in the league. That's would that be my guess anyway. And then yeah, Lawrence's pace as well, you know, and she also knows that she's got the backup that if you know if Graham Hansen goes past her, then Neve's gonna be there and it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be difficult for Graham Hansen to go past both of them, although, you know. She has shown in the past that she is capable of doing that. But yeah, just it was very interesting to see how we cope with their wide threat. And then also with putting the three in central midfield, I think we have to do it when you play Barcelona because the typical formation is 4-3-3 and you have to match them up in midfield. If you allow, you can't give them the gimme of giving them extra players in that midfield battle. And I thought the midfield were really, really good on Saturday. And yeah, just an all-around really good disciplined performance from, I guess that was I guess you'd call it like a back nine. Hampton, and then the five stroke three at the back, or the five midfielders, or the three midfield, whichever way you want to splice it.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, there are a team that have scored over 100 goals in the league this season already. Barcelona, that is, of course. And speaking of Niskanen, Sophie, you know, she was someone that we spoke about in the preview as well, you know, maybe sitting on Ciara Walsh and stopping that from happening. And just having Niskanen in the team just it opens up so many possibilities for us. And, you know, her versatility tactically is one of her biggest attributes.
Yeah, definitely. If you'd said we were going to play three at the back, you probably would have said Niskanen plays as that third centre back, but she didn't. She played in midfield and she did superbly well. I think she seemed to be calmer in this game than she has in some of the other big games where she's played in that central midfield position. Now, whether that's because she's not playing as a two, she's playing as the third of the midfield, but she seemed to be a bit calmer, got hold of the ball, passed the ball, tackled back, and obviously her creativeness came to the fore when she created the goal for Erin. So, yeah, really, really big performance from her, and just a show of what she can do in the future.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, if you go back to this fixture last year when we started the first leg at home, you know, it was Čankovic in that midfield that started as Emma tried to do something there. And it felt like Nuska had been signed specifically to play this game. You know, that was maybe one of the keys because she came off at half time. That was like missing that sort of player. And she made a huge difference to the way Chelsea played and the way Chelsea set up against Barcelona that maybe surprised them.
It was just another energetic central midfield player. I mean, it's not to say that Čankovic, you know, is, you know, I mean, she's a fantastic on the ball player. But for a game where we're not going to have the ball, you know, we're going to have the ball less than the opposition were. I don't think she'd suited to that sort of type of opponent. But Sjoerd Nusken with her energy, you know, that absolutely is the case. Like she you know, gives us an extra sort of bolt in that midfield with Erin and Melly. Because if you just had Erin and Melly, you know, I've sort of mentioned it before, you can't leave Barcelona with a 3-on-2 in midfield because you do get overrun because they'll just I can't remember who came up with the term for it, but Barcelona's passing like being sort of like a carousel, where they just sort of play around you. Then that was sort of the description used for Xavi, Iniesta, and Busquets from about sort of 10, 15 years ago, and I think the same applies to Walsh, Aitana, and Patrick Caro, who eventually ended up playing at centre back in the second half, at least for most of it anyway. Nüskan, definitely the type of player for this type of game. And I'd also say as well, Ashley Lawrence, that also felt like she was signed to help with the Graham Hansen problem that we have had. That did also feel sort of pointed because I don't think she's played at left wing back a lot of the season. But in this game, she was used there.
Yeah, that was Sir Alex Ferguson after they beat them in the Champions League final, 2009. I remember the carousel quote, actually. I do like it. And I would agree that it is something that the Barcelona women's team stick to as well. And so, if you're honestly, we're going to talk a lot about defence this evening because it was a defensive display from Chelsea. If we do that, we've got to mention Jess Carter. The whole defence obviously played outstanding, but she was, by far the best player on the pitch for us. And, Rich mentioned the, 2021 final earlier. If we're looking at an arc from that, Jess's is absolutely a straight line going upwards from that final to where she was in Barcelona. Just absolutely superb.
Yeah, definitely. She was incredible. She, every time the ball needed to be tidied up, she was there to tidy it up. Every time the ball needed to be cleared properly, she cleared it properly. She took a ball in the face and was down for a bit. We're a bit worried about that. Absolutely phenomenal performance by Jess Carter. And I wonder how much playing against Spain in the World Cup final, which I think she did, if I remember rightly, for England, contributed to that confidence and that knowledge of who she was playing against. Because England did really well and they lost the final, obviously, but they played well. And I just wonder, the knowledge from last season plus the World Cup final, how much that helped Jess Carter play that position today. I also think she plays really well in that central defensive sort of a three because she plays to her strengths. She can be the last man. She's a very last player. She's a very good one-on-one defender. She can tidy up. She's got the pace to get out to players, cover in behind. She was phenomenal. She was everywhere you needed her to be and did everything you needed her to do.
Yeah, a couple of, really vital blocks as well, using that pace to snuff out attacks. Rich, a lot of players this season have had good moments, have had good runs. If we're looking at consistency, I think Jess Carter is, head and shoulders above everyone else. We're looking at player of the season. I think she's definitely up there, in the top two for that. We've seen Millie out, we've seen Erin and Neve take the armband, but she's the one that's been the captain without the armband.
Yeah, and also she's even commented herself about how more vocal she's been this season because she hasn't had, obviously, Millie with her for most of the year. And so she's had to sort of step up on that front from the leadership point of view from the back. And, she's had to deal with, she was playing with Millie at the start, who's obviously been a normal partner for England and for us at the end of last season, when we sort of slowly realised that Magda was slowly sort of being phased out. She was sort of taking her place at the back with Millie. And then she's also, had to deal with being in partnerships with Buchanan, I think with Marin as well, very briefly, and also Natalie Bjorn when she came in. She's had to deal with being in like four or five different combinations of, even Nüskan, I think potentially might have played with a centre-back this season. She's dealt with, a lot in terms of a chemistry point of view with, dealing with other people. And it seems like, the last sort of few games or so, I guess since Bjorn sort of had her injury, her and Buchanan have mostly done well. I still think that there were times on Saturday where there was a sort of a chance of Barca had early in the game where Buchanan kind of stepped up, didn't get there, and it led to Bonmatí running through the middle of our pitch when there was a 3-on-2, and she elected to pass when I think if she'd shot, she might have scored. But she passed to Salma and Carter, and Johanna basically got back to snuff the chance out. Yeah, I think Carter has definitely been one of our, well, been our most consistent defender this season for sure.
Yeah, player of the match as well. It was great to see her with that, especially with as well, Anne moving to Gotham this week, out of the blue for us, obviously not for them. They obviously know what's going on behind the scenes, but your partner moving the other side of the world just before your huge game could have affected her. She showed her professionalism there, stepping up in this game. Absolutely superb again from Jess. And I do like her and Khadisha as a partnership. I will say, I think there is, as you said, a couple of mistakes in there that have been mainly on Buchanan's side, we must say. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Millie if she is training and back to full fitness for the second leg. But we'll talk about that after the break. So for what we will do is move to the other end of the pitch with Mayra Ramirez. Again, after the performance, I'm thinking, have we signed this player just for this game? Because she terrified Barcelona's defence. She took the pressure off the team by holding the ball up. She brought others into play. And she was, as well, one of her better games for Chelsea.
Yeah, definitely. She was superb. As you just summed it up perfectly there. She rattled their defence. She powered past them. They tried to foul her. She got past them. They tried to pull her back. She just shrugged them off. She held the ball up. She was superb. Obviously, she's used to playing against Barcelona, or she's played a few times against them in their league, so they knew what to expect, and she knew what to expect. But yeah, considering that, she was absolutely brilliant. Probably should have had a penalty. Was fouled. Someone like basically stood on her foot, tried to take her out the game that way. And to be fair, at the end, I thought she absolutely was dead on her feet. She'd worked so hard. But yeah, what a performance. And it's such a shame she doesn't get the fouls she should get, because if she got the fouls she should get, then yeah, we would be having so much more of the ball and so many more free kicks, etc., etc. So yeah, and she's starting to build up the partnerships that you want to see as well. I think that's what we've been missing this season since Sam's gone, is there hasn't been that link up with that partnerships with people, because they're not used to they're building them. And I think we're now starting to see that build up between her and LJ, her and Kat, to a lesser degree, JRK, and the midfielders, which is only bodes well again for next season and how we're going to play in the future. Because once those partnerships start building up, a front three of her, Kat and Lauren, all working in harmony. Wow, what a thought that could be.
Yeah, we spoke about that partnership after the United defeat. Actually, it looked like it wasn't as strong, and maybe that didn't help us in that game. Obviously, looked better on Saturday. And Rich, Sophie mentioned the penalty, which I definitely think she should have had. Is there a case that where she's not getting these decisions? Maybe she, although she was kicked, maybe the way she goes down isn't helping her case, and maybe the refs are looking at that rather than the actual foul. I know they got VAR as well, which helped us in a huge sense in this game, but also didn't intervene in this one. It's hard to say, isn't it? She gets fouled and doesn't get the free kick. They say stay on your feet, she doesn't get the free kick. They say go down, she doesn't get the free kick or penalties either. Then she seems to be stuck between a rock and a hard place, where, as Sophie said, these players are trying any which way to get her out of the game, and she's not getting any protection at all.
No. Irina Paredes definitely kicks her. Like, she doesn't get any of the ball, and I saw it from the away end, and you could tell how far the away end is. If I could see it from there, I was very surprised that VAR didn't award us a penalty. But yeah. I mean, I think later in the game, I think Stephanie Frappart did sort of start to learn or start to get what Barcelona were doing, because I think it was Patchery, when she moved to centre back, she got booked for hauling Ramirez back, and they seemed and she started to seem to get the free kick sort of towards the end, and then whilst that started happening, she Ramirez again started sort of spinning in behind. I think there was sort of one sort of just before she got substituted in injury time, where she sort of runs sort of down the right-hand side. She makes sort of a great centre. Unfortunately, there's no one there sort of leading up to pull it away. But yeah, she's Ramirez has been was fantastic in that line. She's a different type of striker to Sam in that Sam's sort of ability to win headers and sort of flick the ball on for, run rushing in midfielders, is obviously great. But Myra seems to have the ability to sort of hold the ball up with her strength and allow people to sort of get running behind that way. And she's also got, I think she's a better dribbler than Sam as well. She can certainly sort of travel with the ball further, and it relieved a lot of pressure off our midfield and defence on Saturday.
Yeah, I think just the goal was probably missing from her performance. Had she won the penalty, you probably would have forgave that and said it was a perfect striker performance. And obviously, she missed that chance where she put it over the bar. Where 2-0, maybe you're thinking more certainty that Chelsea definitely go through to the final. Then the 1-0, and her performance deserved the goal. I think, unfortunately, not to be. And talking of goals, we should talk about the one we did score. It's almost like I planned the show, isn't it? Segue into each point nicely. And there was some tears from Barcelona fans because there was an offside. I think it was at about 1955. They want to go back to for the offside. But Sophie, what a goal it was, worthy of winning any match from Erin.
Yeah, and it wasn't. I mean, it was a fantastic goal by Erin, but the build up to it was superb as well. Started with sort of like a. As Mayra Ramirez won the ball, didn't she? And then passed it out to Lawrence, who sort of, I think, passed it back into Erin, 1-2 with Nusken. And then great skill by Nusken passing it back to Erin, and she found the space and put it in the net. It was really good build up, really good team goal. Just what you want to see. I must admit, I lost my head a lot at that point, screaming, shouting, crying, you name it. I couldn't believe I'd seen Chelsea score a goal against Barcelona again. Yeah, what a moment. Brilliant. And talking about Jess Carter's consistency, I think Erin Cuthbert's been up there as well in terms of player of the season talk, because she's been really consistent. And since she's taken the captain's armband on over the last, what is it, 3 months or so, 4 months or so, I think her levels have gone up again. And I also, whether it's compared to other players, her levels have gone up, or whether she just would anyway. I don't think it's any coincidence that she's had the past 2 summers off, because unfortunately Scotland haven't played in the championships. So therefore she has had a proper break for the last 2 summers. And I think we are really reaping the rewards of that in her performances we're seeing now at this end of the season, because she's a hell of a lot fresher than a lot of the other players that have had to play through the tournaments we've had in the last 2 summers. And that's great news for us. Because, as I say, we're hugely reaping the rewards. Her energy is unmatched, I would say, by anybody else in the team.
Yeah, I think they call it the Ryan Giggs effect, is the official term. Able to play till he was 40 because he was obviously Welsh, and never had to do anything in the summer. Rich, as we mentioned, again, talking about planning the show, we spoke about Ramirez, Nusken, Lawrence all playing a huge part in the goal leading up to a superb finish from Erin.
Yeah, exactly. And it was one of the few times in the half that we decided to actually press up high. It was, I think there was sort of an errant bit of control by Mabior Niabatier on the right-hand side. And it basically sort of led to Ramirez forcing a bad clearance from Paredes. And that's what basically led it, the ball to go to Lawrence. And then, sort of the rest from there is, is history. It's a really sort of well-worked goal. But we were organised, we were disciplined, but we also did carry a goal for it. The balance, the approach of the game was pretty much perfect. And I think if we'd gone there and only just decided to basically play for a nil-nil and just defended, I don't think that that would have worked. I think you do need to be able to sort of alleviate the pressure on the defence and in the midfield by having the ball for a bit. And I think that, even though Barcelona did have the lion's share possession, I think our actual possession stats are actually not too bad from the game. Well, not as bad, I think, as maybe people were expecting from beforehand. And that definitely plays into it. It definitely means that, if you keep the ball, you're not chasing it. You can get a rest whilst you're on the ball. And that was one of the key sort of points we we kind of sort of, I guess we sort of set a trap in a way. And yeah, Ramirez leading from the line. And yeah, it was just really sort of well worked goal from Lawrence Nuskin. And then, yeah, Cuthbert, lovely finish. Great feint, because I think she wanted to shoot initially and Engen was the person sort of trying to block it. And Engen took the cheese enough that Erin could then basically do the next touch and then pull it stick away into the top corner. It was a very good finish. And yeah, it was, you know, you have to take your chances in these games, even if they're half chances. And that wasn't a complete chance. That's, you know, there's still sort of a lot of work for Erin to do, but she did it great.
Yeah, any obviously closer to the goalkeeper probably makes a save as well. And as you say about keeping the ball, you know, especially in that heat, you know, I think, I don't know who decides the kickoff times, but I don't think it was a surprise that it was that lunchtime in Barcelona. You know, the players obviously more used to the heat. But then to see a Scott dominating the game from midfield was funny. As were the Barcelona tears about the offside, because given what they've got away with over the years, and even in the game with the penalty, but they still find room to moan. The Arsenal of Spain, I think we should call them. And of course, Sophie, in games like this, you need, you know, some big moments to go your way. And it did when, shockingly, VAR gave the right decision for the offside just after Khadij Buchanan had given away a penalty for handball. You know, at the time on TV, sort of the straight away didn't sort of seem like what they were doing. And then you see the replay, you see her standing behind her. A little bit of hope that we were going to get a decision. And, you know, given some that have gone against us this year, I was surprised that VAR overturned it. I don't know what it was like in the stadium, if it's like the men's games where they don't tell you anything and you don't know what's going on. But obviously on TV, you can see the replay and see the new 3D scan thing they do to show the right decision. And it obviously got us out of jail on that occasion.
Yeah, like the men's game, didn't really know what was going on. I mean, it was virtually decided when they said checking penalty on the screen, which we couldn't see, as I say, because as Rich said, it was behind us. It was at the other end to us as well, so we weren't 100% sure. It was obvious that it was a handball from our end. We just weren't sure why they were reviewing it. And then somebody said, oh, it's offside. I was like, oh, okay. And then when she went to the screen, it was like, but why has she gone to the screen if it's offside? That's what I was a little bit confused about. But I'm not going to complain because we got the decision. And to be fair, I think that's probably one of the best refereeing performances I've seen this season. Well, I didn't realise it was Frappart till after the game. And then when somebody said that, oh, well, that makes sense because that was such a good refereeing performance. And I don't know if they tend to put the same ref on the same games, but I hope we get at the Bridge on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it was whether she just thought that she was interfering with play.
That makes sense then, yeah.
And obviously she decided that she was. Yeah, as you say, it was, for once, you know, a really good refereeing performance, something we don't talk about much. You know, we talk about not wanting VAR. You know, if I think in Europe, even in the men's game in Europe, it actually works a lot better than the way we do it in England. You know, but on the whole, we're still against VAR, just for the record. You know, and talking of big moments, Rich, you know, right at the end, Barcelona get a gilt-edged chance to level this game up. It falls to Mateus, who probably the last player you want the ball to fall to. And she puts it wide. And again, you know, just these little moments go in your favour. It was definitely our day, wasn't it?
Yeah, and also, that was the best chance they created in the game. And it came from them lumping a ball to the back post, which is one of the most it's not a really sort of a chance you expect Barcelona to create against you, but it was Lucy Bronze at the back stick, and you know she's pretty good at winning headers. At the, you know, from those set pieces, she gets pretty good. She gets first contact to a lot of set pieces from attacking point of view, as we know, we all know from watching the Lionesses. And yeah, it fell to Piteas. I do think that I think a lot of the goal was blocked off by the positioning of our defenders. So there was only one place she could really hit, which was the near post, and luckily she did hit it wide. I think they also had a chance about 10 minutes before that where, again, they sort of stuck a ball to the back post, although this was, I think it was Graham Hansen's cross and it was Salma. I think it was a harder chance, definitely, because it was on the volley, but Salma sort of hit it wide. And That was to that point, that was the best chance I created. But yeah, they, yeah, it was, yeah, a set piece. I guess it's something to look into for sort of for next week, because that at least it shows that they can pose a threat from there. We've got to sort of look into that, as well for our prep for Saturday.
Yeah, I was just expecting the net to bulge, especially because it's them in the last minute. And although a one all draw wouldn't be the end of the world away in the first leg, Sophie, because I would have been happy if it was nil nil and we go to Stamford Bridge and it's a one off game, the winner takes it all. But we've got to be absolutely over the moon winning 1-0 in Barcelona.
We as we walked out, we were just saying, like, pinch me, I'm dreaming moments. See, Chelsea winning Barcelona is phenomenal. Well, to win there, to be there, to see it happen, was absolutely, yeah, out of this world. Really good performance. As you say, you need the luck to go with you. And maybe that's what the Conti Cup and the FA Cup was building up to. We're going to get all the luck in these two games. You've got to hope so, haven't you? Yeah, it's. Yeah, 1-0. Yeah, as I said, I would have taken a 1-0 loss, to be fair, because they're that good that they can. I was saying to people beforehand, I said, well, what do you think? I said, well, it could go either way. We could do them 1-0 or 0-0, but equally they could absolutely hammer us. And that's still going to be the case on Saturday. But hopefully now we have a better idea how to play against them. Whether they've now worked out how to play against us, we'll find out on Saturday.
Yeah, it's funny, after thinking back, I actually just said that, thinking back to the aftermath of Man United and thinking, how on earth are we going to get anything from the game against Barcelona? And then this completely different team plays, all the same players, a bit like Space Jam when they all get their powers back. They've all touched the basketball before kickoff, and a different lot of players have gone out there and played the game. And Rich, as I said in the introduction to the show, Emma Hayes has beaten every Champions League club she's ever faced now. Number 19 ticked off the list. A magnificent achievement that should rightly be celebrated.
Yeah, and in particular with Barcelona, obviously, I think the final, their approach was, well, we're going to play our own game that we've been playing all season, and that obviously didn't work out at all. And then last year, I think, was a learning process, learning to how to play against them, and that obviously didn't start very well either. We were behind from the third or fourth minute in the tie, and then went out. We didn't ever regain parity in the tie. But there was a greater learning process that was done. We were much more sort of disciplined in the way we approached the game. Obviously, I think in the performance in the Nou Camp in particular sort of gave us belief that we could compete against them. And I kind of felt that at the time coming up the stadium where, you would have hoped that we sort of had, maybe could have had like another 5 minutes in the Nou Camp and maybe something else would have happened. But they did end up seeing the game out. But again, there's sort of a learning process that seems to have sort of happened for the approach for this year. We were again defensively disciplined. We again, showed sort of great sort of determination defensively. I think Erin, in a post-match interview, basically mentions that they didn't sort of jump out of the spaces or the zones that they were defending in, because that's sort of how Barcelona sort of rip you apart, because they can just like, sort of pass around you and then they're in. And this time we also carried a greater attacking threat, I think, because it wasn't just the goal. Ramirez's hold-up play also led to other chances happening as well, and the potential penalty we should have had. Yeah, they just Emma has seemed to have learned from every single one. I think, mate, I'd assume the longest team or the team that she went the longest without beating before beating them was Wolfsburg. I would guess that would be pretty obvious. But then that was eventually done in the run to 20 to the final in 2021, and now we've already if we do get to the final, we've already beaten Lyon and PSG before. So, yeah, a great achievement because, not every manager or very few managers will be able to beat everyone they've ever faced.
Yeah, well, not every manager can even beat Barcelona, of course. And that'll be the one missing off most managers' list. And so if you something else that, we spoke about this, I think it was after Ajax, and so again I noticed on Saturday, is that there seems to be the emotion of winning these games is completely missing from this team in a good way. We just spoke then about beating Wolfsburg. I remember the emotion that Emma Hayes showed after finally beating Wolfsburg, the emotion she showed when we finally got to the Champions League final. And I think just getting to the final that year was actually us winning it for her. She got that sort of step off her back. It just feels so different this year. There's just a professionalism even after the game. Everybody, every player, every coach, it's half time and we haven't won anything, although we've won this game. And I think a couple of years ago, they perhaps would have celebrated this win a bit more than we've seen, especially in front of the cameras, if they had done behind the scenes or not, I don't know. But for me, it feels like that emotional side of it they've taken out of the game, which has really helped them on the pitch.
At the final whistle, there was no huge celebrations from the Chelsea players at all. It was just like they'd won a league match 1-0 against Aston Villa or something. It was just an acceptance that it was half time. When they sort of came over to us fans, they were sort of like clapping and applauding, but there wasn't like all the fist bumping and that sort of I'm showing you, which isn't very good for a podcast, but like fists in the air type. There wasn't all of that. There was just sort of like applauding us and sort of like that rather than like all the celebrating. So you're right, the emotion has been taken out of it, which in these situations, you've got to play with your head, not your heart. And that's exactly what we're doing. And that's what we need to do again on Saturday. There's hopefully going to be a massive crowd there, over 30,000 tickets sold already. And the players have got to harness that in the right way. They can't let it get into them and drive them out of their disciplined performance. They've got to use it in the right way, which they, the fact that they rattled the Barcelona fans 2 years running to the point where they were like whistling and booing every bit of throw in or free kick or fouling that we did. And I think the Barcelona players have been a little bit rattled by it as well from the Bon Mati comments afterwards. We're kind of in their heads. They're not used to this level of competition week in, week out, whereas we are in the WSL, obviously not the Barcelona level, but the ferocity of those games we're used to week in, week out. Barcelona aren't used to that. Brilliant. That's all I can say, really. Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, even when they're winning, Barcelona fans whistle decisions that go against them. It's one of the worst teams out there. And for the listeners, if you picture like Jurgen Klopp doing his fist pump to the crowd, that's what Sophie was illustrating in her talk of celebrations there. Rich, usually we win. I do a player of the match poll. And although it was Jess Carter, I'll just say that now, I felt it was unfair for me to just give it to one player and pick four out for a poll. So I did give it to the whole team, you would agree with a decision like that?
Yeah. So many were great on Saturday. I don't think any of them were average or below. I think maybe the two, just because, I mean, LJ, what she was good for was sort of holding the ball up and sort of relieving pressure. Didn't have sort of much of a goal threat in the game. And, Kat eventually came on for and kind of sort of fulfilled the same sort of role. And did sort of mention Buchanan at the start. I think there was sort of a couple of shaky moments at the start, but she did well the rest of the game. I did think, she sort of settled into it, as did sort of the rest of the team. I think the first 5 or 10 minutes were a little bit okay. And it's sort of, I sort of mentioned the last time I was on here that it felt like we conceded a lot of goals early on in games. And that's sort of what, and I think that's happened in two of the three defeats we've had this season, have come from sort of the start or having early goals. Sorry, three out of the four defeats we've had this season have come from early-ish goals, and the team sort of not quite have kind of recovering from there. But once he got that period out of the way, we definitely settled into it more. And I think it was only sort of just sort of at the end where Barcelona was sort of a little bit more direct. They started to create a few chances. Everyone was, you know, at least good. Most were very good. And in particular, Erin, I think, had a game that N'Golo Kanté had in 2021, or one of the many games N'Golo Kanté had in 2021. I thought she was everywhere in that midfield, and she also got the goal as well. But Jess, again, magnificent. It's hard to split between those two. Although Johanna did a great job at wing back, Ash did a great job at wing back when they haven't sort of played in those positions so much this season. Melly and Nushkin were great in midfield as well. Neve was good in her role. Hannah's kicking was again really good. That relieved some pressure as well. And then Myra up top. Yeah, there's so many that were great on Saturday.
Yeah, if there had been a long distance race around the track on the same time, I think Erin would have won that, as well as scoring the goal. And just on Lauren, because we didn't talk about LJ sort of at all, apart from that she played. You know, I think just having her there is something for Barcelona to think about. And, you know, we see the first half of the first leg, they only had Sam Kerr to think about, whereas this time, you know, there's LJ, there's Ramirez, there's Camrid running behind, there's Nuskin popping up there as well. And all of a sudden, Barcelona can't just think about what they're going to do going forward. They've got to think about what they're going to do when we turn the ball over. And I think that made a big difference. And I mean, when you've got Lauren, you keep her on the pitch as long as possible, because there's always, you know, the odd chance that she does something special. And I know she's going to turn up on Saturday with the perfect new haircut ready for a great performance and a hat trick. Just put that into the universe. I mean, Sophie, we've sort of waxed lyrical about the performance and the result. Where does this rank for you all time for Chelsea?
Definitely. It hasn't got the excitement and the end product of that 4-2 against United to win us the league. But in terms of sheer determination, tenacity and discipline and beating a team who are thought to be unbeatable, it's one of the best, if not the best performances I think I've seen. And I'll say from a men or a women's Chelsea team, and I've seen a lot of men's games over the years, so it's not just the women's team performance. It's one of the best Chelsea football club performances I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, at some stage, Emma's going to do some sort of documentary about her time at Chelsea, and they're going to talk about big games that made her Chelsea career. And I think this is definitely one that will get mentioned regardless of what happens this Saturday.
I was going to interject and say it doesn't matter what happens on Saturday, because if we go out, this doesn't mean anything. It's just the first leg. But, you know, if we do end up going through, then it is absolutely up there with the greatest Chelsea Football Club performances, as Sophie's already mentioned, men and women. It would be up there with the 2-2 against Barcelona in 2012, which I have as the number one Chelsea game, because at 2-0 down and with the red card, I could not have foreseen we were going to go through. And then we did. But at the moment, we don't know where this is at the moment. This, you know, we just don't know. Until the game ends on Saturday, I don't know where to rank it at the moment. But what it was it was a very good performance. And, you know, we can talk about what it means afterwards.
Yeah, well, we will obviously talk about that second leg in part two, which is coming shortly. I just want to read out Johnny's comment on the match, because I've been looking at it for a while. He writes, it was a beautiful, brilliant match, especially how Chelsea really played very well. Nice goal from Erin Cuthbert, assisted the German all-rounder, Serkan Nuskin, and also Jess Carter really did excellent work defending, throwing herself on the line to keep players like Salmon from creating chances. Impressed with VAR when Barca's penalty was overturned as offside. Much better than VAR in the Conti Cup final. Wish Mary Ramirez could have scored, but I know she'll get her chance this Saturday. Otherwise, really enjoyed it. screaming at the TV in the living room, which I thought he posted that 70 minutes ago, which we then I think talked about everything that Johnny mentioned, which is why I wanted to bring that into the show. Remember, if you are listening along in Mixlr, we will do that. I will do that because I'm the only one that's reading it as we go. Now we're going to go for a quick break before we get on to part two. Before that, a reminder that issue 11 of Kingsman Chronicle is available. It will be at the game this Saturday. I've got 23 copies to sell. So if you do want one, you've got to be quick. I will be just on the exit to Fulham Broadway Station, just on the corner next to the stall that sells the scarves and hats and stuff like that. So do come and find me. The quicker I sell them, the quicker I can get in the ground and get a drink, which will be nice. I know it is Singer, so maybe not. But yeah, the more I sell, the lighter the bag weighs, which is a key part of my following football. And also to mention that subscriptions are now available for next season. So if you do want to subscribe, get it through the post to your letterbox. They are at kingsmanachronicle.bigcartel.com. Just a little tip, there is a discount code in issue 12, which is coming for May. So you may want to hold off till then when you get that code and get your subscription a little bit cheaper. The link for all that will be in the description box, and we will be back after this break. Welcome back to Etzebeth Kingsmeadow. Time now to look ahead to this Saturday, the biggest Chelsea women's game at Stamford Bridge ever. Barcelona, obviously, in the second leg. Over 30,000 tickets sold, Sophie. A huge push from the club for this one. Every player, even Emma Hayes, is posting links on Instagram. Congratulations to her. And obviously, we do get a lot of listeners to the show that follow the Chelsea men's team from the Chelsea Fancast platform. If they're not coming this Saturday, have not already bought a ticket, why should they?
Why should they? Because you get to watch two of the best football teams in the world doing what they do best, which is playing football in a brilliant stadium, which hopefully will be absolutely rocking like it was for the Arsenal game. And the more people that are there, the more noise we make, the more intimidating it is, the more chance there is for us to.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across six devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
To do the unthinkable and knock Barcelona out of the Champions League.
Yeah, Rich, what would your plea be to supporters?
The bookies still have Barcelona's odds on to go through, which I cannot ever remember happening for a team that won the away leg first. And that's why as many people need to sort of tone up. I think that shows you how good the Barcelona team is that, you know, we've played once and they're going to play again. And just we just need the place to be sort of packed up. We need, you know, we need the crowd to bring the energy. It's a better kickoff time than it was last year because we had the midday first leg kickoff instead of the evening game, which Barca had at the Nou Camp. You know, and they created a, you know, a lot of noise with their 70,000 fans there. You know, and it was a bit more muted on Saturday as well. From their point of view, I think they got about 35,000 in, but that we could see sort of empty sort of bits sort of around the ground, and also the stadium they were playing in was obviously vastly different and as and further away, which I don't think helped them out. And I think it's I think it might have even been the second time they played there after the Clasico early in the season. So, but yeah, just to sort of focus back on us, is Emma Hayes's last game. She's Chelsea Football Club's greatest ever manager, men or women. And you know, this is the most important game of our season so far. And I urge everyone to get a ticket and to get into the bridge. And you know, even if you know Barcelona score, you know, they take the lead and it's back to sort of level and aggregate, just to sort of keep pushing the team, you know, keep singing, yeah, just keep getting behind the players. Yeah, we just need as many people there as possible to really sort of push them, be the extra player. Erin's already asked for it. Emma's asked for it. You know, please come.
Yeah, Johnny's got his ticket in Mixlr. He's got someone coming who he met in Amsterdam, coming to London for the first time, bringing the German flag for Jürgen Juskin. I've got my ticket in the Matthew Lower, actually, so not the shed where I've seen Chelsea lose twice to Barcelona. So hoping that makes a huge difference. You know, and as Richard and Sophie have said, you know, two of the best teams in women's football. I said it when we lost to the Barcelona last year. It was actually a privilege to watch them play football. The way they play is fantastic. If you love football, it's worth coming just to watch, you know, two different styles going against each other. Two great styles. And I think Rich just nailed it with, you know, this is the last time Emma Hayes will represent Chelsea at Stamford Bridge as Chelsea manager. What she's done for the club since she took over in 2012, when we've heard the players talk about it on the new podcast. You know, they didn't have a building, they didn't have a room, they didn't have someone to get changed. The groundspeople would turn the electric off and they had to go and turn it back on because they were still there. They were training twice a week, playing in front of two men and his dog. We've seen it grow even from when we started this podcast in 2020. You know, the way the game has grown, the way we see the Lionesses win the Euros and the buzz that that created after that, it's just fantastic. And it, you know, one of the concerns I hear a lot from people that don't watch the women's game is the speed of the game. I can tell you that that's not something you notice, that it's any slower than men's football. It's just as competitive, just as fast. The club are doing a great deal with the atmosphere, with the DJ. It is different to going to watch Chelsea men, but not in a bad way. You know, it's fantastic, and you'll see players like Lauren James and Mayra Ramirez, as well as obviously the great Barcelona players as well. So this is an opportunity, I think, not to miss. And I know the men are playing that evening, I think, in Aston Villa. If you're not travelling away, you know, it's worth missing one men's game to pick this one. Champions League semi-final doesn't really get much bigger at your home ground than that, unless you're a team that gets the final and you end up in it as well. I suppose like Bayern Munich in 2012. Yeah, and as Rich said, Barcelona have lost the first leg 1-0 and are still odds on to go through to the final. So although we've got great players and a great manager, we do need Stamford Bridge to be absolutely rocking to win this game. So if you haven't already, just go on the Chelsea website and buy a ticket, or look at one of the players' Instagrams because they've all posted the same picture and the same link somewhere. I think I might try and include the link in the description box as well. Although the club are not paying me commission, I must say, for any tickets sold. So please do that. Let's talk about the actual match itself then. So if you're expecting Chelsea to stay as they are, or maybe try and bring something different so that Barcelona aren't prepared for facing the same style of Chelsea.
I don't know. What we've done worked or works. However, will they now know how to counteract it? I don't know. How do we change it up? Because I think we need those three in midfield, and I think that those the wing backs and the making the five at the back works as well. So I'm not sure how we would change it up. I think going back to a 4-3-3 is a bit risky. So I think I'd be tempted to keep it the same, and probably the same players. Although controversially, and with it being at Stamford Bridge, I'm a bit torn. I might have been tempted to start Cat over Lauren, but Stamford Bridge is Lauren's house, so yeah, probably stick with the same 11.
Yeah, although I've asked the question, Rich, I don't know how Chelsea would do anything differently. As Sophie says, I think going back to a back four is risky. The only thing I can think of is that you maybe take out Yohannes and Camrid and play Perisay and Lawrence both as the wing backs, which I think is probably a little bit too defensive and maybe just invites too much pressure from Barcelona, which, I mean, Buffer mentions this on Mixlr, they've gone, I don't know how long without scoring Barcelona. They're not going to go two games in a row, unless they are a London bus, of course. But yeah, I think as Sophie said, it worked, and we know that Barcelona are not going to change what they do. They play with their philosophy. They're going to do what they do. So I don't think sticking with what we've done is particularly a bad thing.
No, and yeah, I would keep the same starting 11 for Saturday. I do think if we put in Perisay as well as another fullback on one side, that would be, I think that would invite the pressure. The good thing with Johanna is there were times in that game where, the ball was sort of played down her channel, and she was constantly winning the sprinting race and getting us up the pitch. And we definitely need that. We definitely need to carry that threat. Rolfo will leave space in behind on the left side. The one thing I am sort of interested in is I do think Barcelona have to react with something different, and they did in the final last year because they were playing in normal, I think 4-4-3-3, and they went 2-0 down, and they really weren't looking out of sorts. And then they changed it to a back three, like a 3-4-3 in the second half. And that allowed Rolfo to sort of push up much higher. It gave Hansen space, and it also allowed their sort of midfielders to dominate Wolfsburg. Although I would say that Wolfsburg were playing a 4-4-2, and that probably didn't help them out either in that scenario. So I don't think Barcelona are also are rigid, completely rigid to the 4-3-3. I do in fact think they did do the. Played the 3-4-3 for the last sort of 20, 30 minutes against us in the home leg on Saturday, where I guess they did create a little bit more sort of towards the end. I think Lucy Bronze basically ended up playing as a sort of a wider centre back instead of an actual full back, sort of bombing on, and it allowed Rolfo to sort of go up a bit higher on the left hand side. So yeah, I think we will see something slightly different from Barcelona just because I've just got that in the back of my mind from how they reacted in the final against Wolfsburg last year, that they're not sticking completely rigid to the 4-3-3.
Yeah, and I suppose, Sophie, it's going to be the first sort of 15 minutes is going to be absolutely vital, isn't it? They're going to want to get that goal early, Barcelona, and level the tie up as early as they can. So they don't leave themselves with too much to do for the rest of the game. And if we can hold off from that and then maybe growing confidence, start getting up the pitch a bit with Ramirez and whoever plays else, Lauren around her perhaps, and the support as well from the crowd, we have got a huge chance here, haven't we?
Yeah. I mean, we can score. I think the pitch at Stamford Bridge, with it being a smaller pitch, is probably to our benefit in terms of keeping it tight and defending. But yeah, the first 15-20 minutes is going to be absolutely key, and we cannot start slowly like we have done for much of this season. We've got to come out the blocks like we did against Arsenal, like we did against United at Stamford Bridge, and really go, well, not go at them a lot, but we've got to be sharper out from the start. because I don't think Barcelona will miss the chances that they missed on Saturday, or even they won't create as few chances as they did on Saturday. Or if they do, we've again played the perfect game, and I'll take that. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. As Rich said, the bookies still think Barcelona are favourites. I was on top of the world on Saturday thinking we won at Barcelona, and then I slowly come down and down and down and thought, there's no way we're going to be able to stop them scoring two games in a row. So we're going to have to score one, if not two goals, which would be interesting because we've only ever scored one goal in a game against them twice now. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, one could be enough, though. Let's not forget that. And Rich, I think, listen to what Sophie says there. That is why I think, we're going to see the same 11, especially with Lawrence and Cameron as fullback, wing back, sorry. Because if we do need to get from A to B in the quickest time possible, we need players that can run pretty fast, and those two can.
And also have the people that can hold the ball up high up the pitch, like Myra. And, that would also mean Lauren as well. We will need possession of the ball, to give our the rest of the team a rest. And yeah, I just think the balance of the team worked so well on Saturday. I don't think you should change it now. At least not until we see something different coming from Barcelona. I think I'd yeah, I think we definitely need to see Johanna and Ash for the sort of the reasons I sort of mentioned earlier. They can stretch the pitch on that side. They're not going to be just sat in the entire time, and which I think is important. We need to show that, whilst we're going to be defensively disciplined and organised, we also need to carry a goal threat to, and the longer the game goes on without Barcelona scoring, the more the game is going to open up, or the more that they're going to have to open up, and then that's hopefully the way we can capitalize on, on them giving us more space.
Yeah, although having said all this, Sophie, we do know one of Emma Hayes's traits is to go with what's tried and what's tested, especially in terms of personnel and players like Kirby and Wrighton. She does lean on a huge deal. Do you think there's any chance any of those could feature from the start? And I'm also looking at Millie Bright. Does she leave one of Buchanan and Carter, probably Buchanan, out and put Bright in just because of how big this game is, and she knows she's got the trust in those players?
I would say that the lack of substitutions on Saturday says that she doesn't necessarily think those players are up to the speed of the game. She only made two substitutions on Saturday, and I think our players were looking very leggy. I would have tried to make some earlier, but what do I know? I'm not Emma Hayes. And I think that the team she selected is the best team for that performance. We've also got to bear in mind that we've got to go to Liverpool the Wednesday after. So we've still got to have some fit and available players for that game. It doesn't stop. Millie Bright, no, you can't put a player coming back from injury into a game of this magnitude with the speed and quickness of the Barcelona players. I think she was probably on the bench for as much as her personality and her leadership around the team on Saturday than she was of there being any chance of her warming up. I don't even think she warmed up with the players when the players warmed up during the game. I can't remember clearly. I didn't see her warm up there. I didn't see them all warm up. So I think there's more chance Millie comes on at some point against Liverpool than there is that she does against Barcelona, unless we need to really just batten down the hatches for the last 5 minutes against Barcelona on Saturday. So yeah,
What we need to score.
the change I could see is I could see Wrighton coming in, but I'm not sure who for. I'm not sure whether it'd be for Caneryd, because if you take Caneryd out, as Rich said, you lose that pace, and I think that pace is absolutely key.
Yeah, well, we will find out about 4:30. Well, it's a bit earlier for UEFA games, actually. They do release the teams a bit earlier than an hour before. Probably from about 4:15 on Saturday. It's a 5:30 kickoff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Make sure I turn up at the right time. Johnny agreeing to stick with the same 11 that worked well. And again, we need to make sure we are ready, more than ready, to go in the second leg to see this game through. And of course, I'm sure Emma Hayes will have no problem geeing her players up for this one. If they're not already, I think they should be pretty fired up and ready to go. Unlike Chelsea men's team, who have just conceded a third Chelsea goal, Arsenal goal, to Kai Havertz. There you go. What choice? That's why you should come on Saturday, because the men's team are fucking shit. The women's team are not. So stop supporting the men, stop following the women, would be my advice. So if I know you don't do predictions, so I'm just going to go straight to Rich. I don't know what I'm going to say yet. So Rich, what are you predicting, if you can, for this match?
One-one.
Who scores first?
We do.
I agree in that sense, actually, that we score first. And then Barca equalise. They obviously need a goal to take it to extra time. Push for the winner. Throw one forward. And then Chelsea break from a corner. And Johanna Rittenkamrad scores and Chelsea win. Rounds the goalkeeper and scores a la Fernando Torres way back when Chelsea men's made it to the final in 2012. Chelsea winning for me 2-1. Rich obviously should have said congratulations for getting the prediction right for Aston Villa. The first time ever since I've been writing it down that someone's got a prediction right. So you're 1-0 up. Not that you get anything for that. But Johnny going for 2-0 Chelsea and 2-2 from Buffer. We are going against the bookies and saying that Chelsea go through. I might put £20 faster to win, because at least if we lose, I've got some money coming back.
We were 14-1 to win on Saturday, and we did. So I've always liked Chelsea as the underdogs.
We're
better at best when we are.
£10 on both then. So if we win, I'm happy and I've got some money. And if we lose, I'm sad and I've got some money. We'll see. All bet on the men to let you down. There you go. Good choice by Dane, choosing to watch that rather than the fun that we've had tonight. Now, we will be back next Tuesday, which is the 30th of April, to look back at that second leg against Barcelona. And I'm talking slowly to find out that I'll be joined by just Matt and Dane for that one, which should be good. You can follow the show on social media, is what I was going to say, because I haven't written this bit down. That's why I don't know what I'm going to say. We are on Twitter at Mo Kings Mello, myself at Dean Mears, Rich is at Bates in the Place, and Sophie at Traveller74. We are also on Instagram at Went to Mo Kings Meadow. Rich, thanks very much for joining us. I know you're still recovering from your weekend's antics. I'll hopefully see you on Saturday if you're sitting in the Matthew Lower.
I am in the Matthew Lower. Yeah. Pretty central to the goal. I can't remember what row it is. S or T? I think it is. I am in the Matthew Lower on Saturday evening.
I don't know where I'm sitting. I don't buy my tickets. I'm in that stand. So a half-time beer, or maybe one before if I'm finished selling the fanzine early enough, right, is well on the cards. Sophie, what about yourself?
I'm in the Matthew Harding Lower in and around the same sort of area as Rich, I believe. I haven't checked my tickets to see, or our tickets to see where they are exactly, but I believe I'm in and around that area, sort of central. Like you, Dean, I'm in the Matthew Harding Lower for a Barcelona game, where all the other Barcelona games have been in the West Lower. So he's hoping for a better omen there.
Yeah, I remember in 2021 we spoke loads about fate and destiny leading up to Chelsea not winning the Champions League. So I'm avoiding doing that this year, even though all the signs are there and we're pointing to that. So I won't do that. Johnny's in the East Stand, so no beer with Johnny, but I will see Rich and Sophie, and maybe Dane, who rumoured to come to a match. He's been to one and we won that one. So he's got 100% record, which again, another sign from the above that things are pointing in the right direction. Now, if you do like what we do, you want to help support the show, a good way to do that is to become a season ticket holder on Patreon. It does cost the same, or I don't know how much a beer is at Chelsea, probably cheaper than a beer at Chelsea at £5 a month. To support the show, it helps us do things like Mixlr, where people listen and join in the show. It pays for Zoom meetings where we have a lot of disconnects after 40 minutes and rejoin. It pays for the editing software for me to publish it and for you to listen to it. And any extra money goes towards Future Ballers, which, of course, is our community campaign, which buys football boots for young girls across the country for them to enjoy doing what they love, which is playing football. Thanks to the Chelsea women's team for supporting that and encouraging more girls to get into the game. And we'd like to do our bit. Of course, anything that we get through Patreon is donated there. I don't spend it on myself. I don't get haircuts or beard trims, as Rich and Sophie can see on Zoom, unfortunately for them. Again, we will be back next Tuesday, hopefully to discuss Chelsea making it through to the Champions League final. So until next time, from, we'll say, Stamford Bridge to Bilbao, keep the blue flag flying.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.